curated to encourage leaders at all levels to be their best selves and to bring a fresh, curious perspective to today's issues in business and culture. Our goal is to equip listeners with the resources to always move forward.
Hey everyone, welcome to the Always Forward Leadership Podcast. I am Carla Soans and I am here with Ron Kitchens. He is back after, I know we had a guest interview that we just recently had, but Ron is back in the studio.
Who was the interview?
Sarah Mansberger.
Oh yeah, that's right. Sorry.
Yes. We had a great time.
Apparently I'm behind on listening.
You must be behind.
Yeah.
That's okay. We always have a replacement because you're really unavailable doing something else for another group of leaders.
I'm sure my cape was being cleaned and I couldn't be in my Superman outfit.
We had a superwoman in your seat.
She is indeed a superwoman. How are you?
I am wonderful. I'm super excited about today's topic. We're going to be talking a little bit and picking your brain about a theme that you've talked to our team a lot about, and I know other groups. And the theme of today's is finishing strong.
Yeah, it's really important. So I didn't have anything to do with this except it's a Kevin Costner reference.
Of course, your man crush.
The audience know my man crush, Kevin Costner. But his new show, Yellowstone, you know, they were one of the lines in there, and I'm completely butchering it. Don't text tweet me. I know I butchered it. But he's talking to his son in it and says, you'll be remembered by how you end your life. And as I thought, I was sitting there thinking, you know, it's everything in your life. We talk about our team, finish your projects well. If you're getting promoted, finish that part of your responsibilities well. But it really is. People don't remember you in the action. They remember you at the end, at the outcome, how you finish.
It's so true. And I want to get on today's episode, I really want to get to a couple of areas in which I think all leaders need to focus on finishing. And that is, as you mentioned, you know, if you're leaving a job, it's really important to finish strong there. We'll talk about that. If you're finishing a project or sometimes you're promoted and that's why you're leaving a project and moving on to other things, how do you finish strong in that area? And then finishing strong in seasons. And we're going to start there. You just recently talked to our team about the season of summer and how our business kind of functions in seasons and how, you know, we're coming close. August has hit. Labor Day is coming. And for us in Michigan, that means kids are going back to school. And it's kind of the end of that season. And you had a really encouraging message for the team about the importance of finishing strong and kind of amping up for the next season. And I was hoping that you could kick off today's episode with just kind of recapping for our listening audience that message that you shared with our team.
Yeah, so that I think it's really important to understand the seasons and the rhythm of your life or your business, whether that's kid things of, you know, summer comes and so you've got to make sure you're filling kids' time. But then all of a sudden you hit that season of, oh my gosh, you got to get school supplies and clothes and vaccinations and all those things. And there's all that stress in it. And if we don't reverse engineer, if we don't begin with the end in mind, we're not prepared to start again. So in our business and our multiple businesses, we know that right after Labor Day, all the way to Thanksgiving, and now it's really the week past Thanksgiving. So because of our economics conference, we know that that's a sprint. We know that there will be very little time to take off. Schedules are packed. We were looking at my schedule yesterday, Faye and I, and of that time, there's only 3 weeks I'm not traveling. In that time, I'm on the road multiple days every week. And so we know that for me to be able to do that, for you to be able to meet your schedule, for our team to be able to meet the demands on them, August becomes precious. It becomes precious for family vacations. It becomes precious for rest. It becomes precious for health. You know, my annual physical is always in August because I know if I wait, then it won't get done until January or February. And so I do it then. So I make sure that I'm tuning up the car, if you will. And so it's critical that not only we understand that individually, but those in point leadership roles have to make sure their team understands it and that they're actually doing. It's one thing to say, yes, please take time off to go take your kids to the water park one last time for the year, or go school shopping or A's got to take her 15 months old in today to get shots. And so we know that people have got to get those things done in their lives. But if we don't celebrate them getting them done and encourage it, then they'll hide it or they won't do it at all. And then come, in our case, come middle of September, really end of September, 1st of October, people start hitting the wall because they didn't change the oil in their car. They didn't fuel up the gas tank. They didn't clean the bugs off the windows, and all of a sudden the car's off the road. And so as a point leader, we've got to talk about these things and you got to show it. So people know I'm getting my physical, you know, I'm getting blood tests done on Thursday and then I go in for the full physical the next Thursday. People know that we have dental appointments this time of year. You've got to display the actions that give your team permission to emulate those actions.
I think it was such an important message that you share with the listening audience, Ron, and thank you for recapping it. That analogy of when you're going on a road trip, you always make sure that your car is ready to go. Like you make sure you have decent enough tires. You make sure your oil's changed. You make sure you have gas and snacks in the car. And all of those things was so critical for our team to hear. And I know you usually tell us at least once a year, but it helps us to refocus, especially this time of year, on planning for the next year and getting ready for the next sprint. And so thank you for sharing that with the leadership audience.
But also then reinforcing that we're on the trip and that the pain is, we acknowledge it. So, you know, I'll probably say between Labor Day and Thanksgiving, 30 times in various groups of the team, just get to Thanksgiving. Don't let it beat you down. Just get to Thanksgiving. I know it's hard. I know. And we do special things around that because everyone is in sprint mode then. And then once we get, and it's really the week after Thanksgiving now for us, once we get there, the phones just quit ringing. It is dead around here for the last 3 weeks of the year and really into the next week. So we get to do planning and we get to clean our desks out. We get to do all those things. But if we don't take care of the today, prepping the car, we won't be able to make that trip.
Exactly. And so it's so important for leaders to just know your seasons, like know the seasons of your business, know the rhythms of your business, the rhythms of your life, so that you can match things accordingly so that you're ready for those sprint seasons and that your personal life isn't taking a complete back seat during those precious seasons of life where you could easily miss things if you're not intentional about it. Get lost in the sprint. So let's switch gears for a second and talk about other aspects of leaving well. So we talked about ending a season or finishing a season well and getting ready for that. Let's talk about leaving a project. And oftentimes leaders are leaving a project because they're being put on another assignment. They're getting promoted or their skill sets are needed somewhere else or there's another person on the team that can plug in for them there so that they can be more utilized somewhere else, which is awesome. But I see so many leaders really struggle the transition and then they aren't given opportunities again. And it's so sad to me because the reason that they were leaving a project to begin with was because they were talented enough to basically be promoted out of that project and into a new opportunity. And if you don't do that well, you get stuck at that next place and you don't get that opportunity again. So what is your message for people who are maybe mid-career and are in that they're kind of in that place where there's really awesome opportunities for them, but that means sometimes juggling and finishing well the projects that you still have.
Yeah, so the analogy I'd given is people know I'm a huge fan of minor league baseball. Major league baseball is okay, but I love minor league baseball for lots of reasons. But life's different than minor league baseball. In minor leagues, when you get called up to the next level, you go from AAA to major leagues, it happens instantaneously. Literally, players will get pulled off the field, told they're packed their stuff and taken to the airport, and they join the big club. Life doesn't work that way. When you're given an opportunity within an organization, you have to work your way out of that. And it's how you discharge those responsibilities and accept the next ones that tell people how much they can trust you in the next role. And we've had cases where people were doing incredibly well at what they were doing, which meant we wanted to give them more. But then instantly, metaphorically, packed all their files in a box and set it in the middle of the floor and said, okay, it's somebody else's responsibility now. I'm off to do the next thing. And that immediately tells everybody, oh, I can't trust you. Oh, you don't have executive presence. You don't get that time in transition of promoting to more responsibilities. Not talking about titles, talking about responsibilities. You have to do two jobs. You have to have two brains going as you transition, however that plan looks like. And sometimes they're in a transition. Sometimes they're going to give you more responsibilities and figure out how to move things out. But if you immediately go, oh, I'm too good for these things. Oh, I don't have to do that anymore. It tells me I can't trust you. And we see more people fail in their career. Those organizations we coach, economic developers, business leaders. I just a day ago, yesterday, was on the phone with a large church leader on the East Coast where they'd had this exact problem. They promoted somebody and the person completely dumped their previous responsibilities and then let the person go. They had a promotion for a week. And so it is critically important that you have the good sense to know that there, it's not minor league baseball. You're not getting taken off the field in the middle of the game to go to the next level. This is about working your way out of the race. It's really a relay race. And sometimes you're going to have to carry the baton for two legs of the race if you're promoted and you want to change those roles.
And when you think about it in the sense of a relay race, when they're running those relay races, they spend so much time focusing on the handoff. They practice it over and over and over again because there's only so much that you can do to run faster once you hit the point in which you're in the Olympics, let's say. But the transition time between the handing the baton is really the difference maker of whether you're going to get the gold medal or you're on the medal stand at all. And so they practice that so much, that seamless transition. And we always encourage leaders. I know you've said it to me.
But if they drop the baton, nobody's going to trust them the next time. And if they drop it again, they're completely off the team. It doesn't matter how fast you were.
Exactly. But I think we've always encouraged leaders. I know you've encouraged leaders, and I've done the same, is that you have to hand it off well. You have to make sure that the person who's getting the baton is running at your speed before you exit the track.
That's right.
And you can't just stop.
You don't get to throw it to them.
Yes, you don't throw it. You don't throw it back to them. You have to
catch up.
And so you can't just exit the track. And so I think it's just a really important lesson, an important reminder, because I don't think people intentionally leave ever a mess behind or don't transition well. I think they just get caught up and are so focused on the next task at hand and being awesome in that they forget that your performance is not only viewed by how you do in the next project and role, but how your successor does in the project or role that you're leaving behind.
Yeah, and people forget that your success will be as much judged by how your successor does. You know, one of the things that we coach leaders on, one of the things that's very important to me in my own life, is that when you leave an organization, whether it's voluntarily, whether it's because of an accident or illness, or whether the board fires you, when you leave that organization, you're going to be judged by how that organization does from 3 to 5 years. And so if it fails, it's on you. You know, unless they do something really stupid that's completely out of character, if the people you left behind can't make without you, it's your fault, not theirs.
And that's a perfect transition to the third topic that we wanted to discuss today, which was leaving a job well, finishing a job. So for a lot of people, you get to the point in your career where there's another opportunity for you outside of the organization, and you choose to take that. And how you leave an organization is so important. And similar to projects, you know, it just makes or breaks your reputation, how people view you, your integrity as a leader. And I know you've given a lot of leadership advice and coaching to individuals and to teams, and given it to interns in our office. And fellows that have been in our office, but just that focus on really finishing well when you're getting ready to leave an organization.
Yeah, I think it's critical, and people don't think about that. You know, when you're a lot of times you're not even looking for an opportunity, it comes your way. You know, I tell our team, I want to be quoted in the press release for the new organization about how awesome you are when you leave. So I want people to have the job of their dreams. I hope it's with us, but I know if it's not, I still owe it to them for them to have the job of their dreams. So I want to be part of that success with people. But it also means having intellectual honesty and, you know, this kind of elusive executive presence of knowing that, you know, depending on your role, 2 weeks may not be enough transition time. But I guarantee you it's not 6 months. Nobody wants you around that long. The long goodbye, and I made that mistake once where it was an 8-week transition. And I'm telling you, after 4, people didn't want to see me anymore. I mean, it's just the truth. And so but my ego didn't want to believe that. My ego didn't want to believe that, you know, they could take up where I was at. Now, I clearly know that they'd be just fine. That it'd be a few things that somebody'd have to figure out that they didn't before, but everybody'd be great. But so understand and go in, and it's scary. It doesn't matter if you like the job or you don't like the job. It doesn't matter where you are. Leaving a job is scary. It's scary for your family, even if they have the new opportunity is incredible. It's scary, and it feels a bit like rejection. It feels like a date that went bad. And so, but you got to get past that. You got to come in with an attitude of celebration and an attitude of, I have this incredible opportunity I can't turn down, but also have identified your transition plan to say in writing, this is where I'm at. This is how long I think it's going to take me to transition. Here's my recommendation. Now, your boss may not take your recommendation, but you've been intellectually honest enough to say, here's who I think it's transferred to. Here are the key things you don't know that I do that somebody needs to pick up. But identifying all of those things so the projects get completed as seamlessly as possible and that you're setting up everybody for success. In today's age, you better expect that if you didn't sign one in advance, you're going to sign a non-disclosure agreement. It's non-disclosure, non-disparagement. You want one because it should protect you as well. But it tells you that you can't go out and say, oh, I quit because they were bums and, or, you know, they didn't give me the kind of exit party I wanted. And so now I'm bitter about that. You're going to have to expect that you're going to sign that, particularly if you're in a role where it's a professional position and you're going to need them for a reference in the past, because it's hard to get a reference from your current employer. Now, my folks know that I'm glad to give you a reference because I want you to know what you're worth in the marketplace. But it's hard from your current employer. It's the one before that people are going to want to talk to. So if you didn't do this well, you're really damaging your career long term. So that's clear. And then the senioritis, we all kind of know what that is. That's the last semester of your senior year in high school when, you know, you stop bathing and stop reading anything, stop doing homework. Okay, it might be just the boys listening as opposed to the girls, but don't do that. I mean, don't become deadwood. At the point that you're deadwood, that you don't have anything left to do, just go to your boss, go to whoever you're dealing with and say, you know what, why don't I work from home? Or why don't I just be done? Now, I know there's money things in there and we've all got budgets, but don't sit around thinking, well, I've got to answer questions. Be available for that. But again, nobody really wants to see you after you've announced you're leaving. The long goodbye. Imagine if, you know, because it's a mourning. It's a sense of loss. If there's some pain in there. And then there's also the, well, why weren't we good enough? And so it's like seeing your ex-girlfriend at a party, you know, it's raw. And so understand that those are the human emotions behind it and manage that well. And then it should go without saying, but don't take anything with, make sure every box that leaves the office that you're carrying, ask somebody else to review. And it's funny, people think, oh, this is my stuff. You throw it in a box and go, well, that's actually our stapler. That's actually our thing. don't get caught in that. Don't let your reputation be besmirched, and make it clear that your system has been scrubbed, whether it's your phone, your whatever it is that's digital information. That's the big deal. And we're seeing more and more people get caught up with that, thinking that their contacts were their company contacts are their contacts. And we just had a case where somebody called on me after they changed jobs and went, oh, no, no, we don't have that role, that relationship anymore. My relationship is with your previous company, not with you. And you can't call me like that. And then I'd be a young leader and I explained to him where that line was and hadn't even thought of it. Nobody had coached him on it. So be sure you're not taking that digital data with you, because the worst thing you can do is get labeled as somebody who's morally or ethically challenged.
Exactly. And I really appreciate the point that you said about it being painful. The transitions are painful. And I think that just acknowledging that is so important, because it is painful sometimes on both ends and just awkward. And I always encourage people when they're leaving a job to leave. And you mentioned like having an attitude of celebration, but also an attitude of service. Like your job now, the best thing that you can do as a leader who's leaving that organization or position is to be a service-oriented leader. What do you need to succeed? How can I best serve you in my final times here? And understand that at some point, they're going to move forward and have to make decisions without you. And if you come in and embrace that act of service, you then know my service isn't needed in making this decision anymore. I've given all of the information. I've given them everything that I can. And they, my best now act of service may be the next thing that they need me to finish. And so people often get their feelings hurt because at some point they're not included in certain meetings. But the meetings are to figure out what to do without you.
Yeah, all of a sudden the meeting you always led is going on and you're not in the room. And you're like, whoa, what did I do wrong? Yeah, nothing.
And let's be honest, that does kind of suck at the moment. It hurts. But it is the natural progression that needs to happen. And I always think if you approach it as an act of service and you just continue to serve, I think it helps not be so hurt in the moment when things are going beyond you, because they have to.
They have to.
They have to. So in the true essence of finishing well, I'm going to turn it back to you because our time is up. So it's time to finish the podcast. So do you have any closing thoughts?
Manage your career well, manage your life well. You know, I love the Zig Ziglar saying that you have anything in this world if you just help enough people get what they want. Live like that, exit and transition like that, and you're going to find that you make friends for life. Do it the other way, and it's a pretty lonely existence.
Awesome. Well, I look forward to another conversation with you next week, Ron. Welcome back, and we hope to talk to everybody again next week on the Always Forward Leadership Podcast.
See you next week.
Thanks for joining us. We hope today's conversation inspired you to keep moving forward on your leadership journey. To connect with Ron, you can tweet him at Ron Kitchens or send him a message via ronkitchens.com. If you are listening via iTunes, please leave a review. It really helps us connect to you, grow our impact, and keep moving always forward.